I'm not going to start a series today. I'm a series guy, but I'm not going to do a series. I'm going to be speaking for the next 3 weeks, and then Dale Cohen will be with us in 4 weeks, and then Jason Ramsey will be doing a couple of weeks. And so we got a lot of things going on, but I'm not going to do a series. I'm going to do 3 standalone messages, and I'm excited about that. I want to tack on to what Joe was doing last week. I thought, and I'm not trying to improve on what he did, because I think he did a wonderful job, don't you? And but he mentioned something in the middle of that. He talked about meditation. So that's kind of what I want to talk about today. How do we meditate the Bible? We hear meditate, 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 meditate. Well, how do we meditate? And I got a picture I want to show you. When a lot of people, when you think of meditation, you think of somebody sitting in the lotus position with their, I don't know what, does anybody know what that's about right there? Nanu, Nanu. I don't know what that's about. But how many of you can do that? Can anybody do that? Oh my gosh. I can sit down, but I can't cross my legs like that at all. But you know, you think of something that's Eastern religion, mind something, and you think about emptying your mind. Well, when we talk about biblical meditation, we're not talking about emptying your mind. Here's what we're talking about. A cow. It's kind of... It's you say, well, what does that have to do with meditation? Well, just think about it. What does the cow do? It eats grass, swallows the grass, brings it back up, and chews its cud. Now, a cow has one stomach, but that stomach has 4 chambers. What a cow does is they eat it. It goes down into one chamber. They bring it up. Well, I'm glad we don't do that, aren't you? I mean, I like to eat, but I only want to eat it one time. It tastes good the first time. It don't taste good the second time. I've had that experience before. But they bring it back up, and they chew it, they chew it, they chew it, they chew it, and then they swallow again, and then they digest it. Well, this is kind of a picture of what biblical meditation is about, because one of the things that the word meditate means is to ruminate. And that's this process of chewing the cud and going over and over and over and over again. Well, does the Bible even talk about meditation much? Is it? And I want to read some scriptures real quick before we get into the meat of the word here. Psalms 19:14, and this is our text today. And this should be our prayer. This should be our heart's prayer before God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In other words, he's saying, let the words that I speak and the things that I think about be acceptable in your sight. Now, that's a serious prayer. Because sometimes I think about things I shouldn't think about. Sometimes I think about I have negative emotions. Does anybody else have that problem? Somebody says something to you that you didn't like. They gossiped about you. They've done something hateful. And you got this thing going on in your mind. And it's rolling over and over and over. You're chewing your cud. You're meditating. And it's not a good thing that's going to produce a good end result. And what we need to do is say, God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. See, the mouth and the heart are connected. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can be around a person not very long, and you can find out what's important to them by the words that come out of their mouth. You can tell if a person is agitated. You can tell if a person is going through something. You can tell what mood a person is in because of the words that come out of their mouth. because your mouth shows your heart. And your heart is expressed through your mouth. So what we want to do is come to a place that our words and our meditations are pleasing to God. And if they're pleasing to God, they're going to be pleasing. Let me just tell you, they're going to be pleasing. Joshua chapter 1, the story in the Old Testament of the children of Israel. You remember how that Moses brought them out of Egyptian bondage. In fact, the easiest thing that God did was to bring them out of bondage. All he had to do was part the Red Sea, and they walked out of bondage and they walked into freedom. But when they walked into freedom, they were still bound. They were free in their bodies, but their minds were still full of Egypt. They were still slaves in their minds and in their hearts. They didn't know how to be free. And that's one of the reasons that they stayed in that wilderness for 40 years, because they kept saying and doing the same, can I just say it, stupid thing over and over. Cindy tells me don't say stupid. I said, I didn't say they were stupid. Well, they kind of were. But I didn't say they were stupid. They did stupid things. And they kept making the same mistake over and over and over and over and over and over again. Finally, Moses dies. It's time for him to go in. And God raises up Joshua. Can you imagine how Joshua felt? He follows a man that has led the children of Israel. He has been their deliverer, their pastor, their prophet, their leader for over 40 years. Now he's dead. And God says to Joshua, I want you to take his place. I imagine it was a little bit overwhelming. But God said something. I imagine that Joshua had some fear, some anxiety. I mean, he was leading several million people. That would be a little bit that way. But God said something to him in Joshua 1:8, which is a key. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." There's that word mouth again. "But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." He says, "Joshua, I'm going to tell you how to be successful as a leader. I'm going to tell you how to be successful in your purpose that I've raised you up to do." He says, "You're going to have to spend time in my word. You're going to have to say what I say, and you're going to have to meditate on my word. Don't let my word depart out of your mouth, but think about it twice a day, day and night." There's a key right there. Some of the best times to do your meditation, right when you go to bed, meditate yourself to sleep, and right when you wake up, start your day off by thinking on God's word. He says, if you'll do that, then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Psalms 1, I love this. Joe used this in the series. This is probably the greatest psalm in my, I like it better than I do Psalms 23. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." In other words, he says, watch who you hang out with. Watch who you hang out with, because whoever you hang out with is going to affect you. I know one of the things that they say on Friday night is sometimes you have to change your people, places, and things. Why? Because people, places, and things that you used to go kind of set you up for your failures. He says you gotta separate yourself from certain things. But here's the second verse. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates" what? "Day and night. Day and night. He says, when he does that, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, Joe talked about it, roots. How we're causing roots to grow. One of the greatest tools, one of the greatest things that God has given us is His Word and telling us to spend time to meditate, to ruminate, to think about, to think about it, to bring it back up, think about it some more, bring it back up, think about it some more. What does that do? That causes your roots to go deep, 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 deep into God's ways. Then it says, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. He says, if you'll do this, you'll become fruitful in your season. When the time of fruit comes, fruit will be there, whose leaf shall not wither. You're going to live long enough to do what you're supposed to do, and whatever he does shall prosper. Wow. That's a great promise. What is the key? Meditation. Meditation in the Word of the Lord. It's a very, very important thing. I would say probably most people don't, but we should. Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Paul is talking to the young preacher Timothy, and he says to him, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading. What does your pastor tell you to do? Read your Bible. Okay. To reading. I'm not the first one that said that. Where's it at? Exhortation to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. That if you'll do these things, everyone will see your growth. Everyone will see your progress. You won't be a faker. I see Christians who talk the talk. They know the right words to say, but it's evident that there's no fruit there. But he says, listen, if you'll take the time, because here's what it takes to grow up into Christ. It takes time. And not just time, it takes time in the Word, meditating in the Word. Philippians 4, here is the filter. Here's our filter. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, is gossip true? Sometimes. Whatever is honorable, is it honorable? No. Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Meditate on these things. Dwell on it. Think about it. Think about it. Why? Because you're planting the seed in you that's going to produce the proper harvest. The proper harvest. Okay, so let's look at the word meditate. Then I'm going to give you about three things on how to meditate. This is going to be a very practical message today. Very, very practical. But the word meditate, first of all, it means to ponder something. To ponder. To think on it. Then it means to practice as a speech. Now, don't do this in public. They will think you're crazy. But sometimes when I'm driving down the road by myself, I say things out loud. I say things out loud so that I can hear it. Sometimes when I get a sermon idea, I preach it to God and to myself. Some of those never become sermons. Sometimes they do. But what am I doing? I'm saying something. I'm getting it out. I'm hearing it. I'm rolling it over. That's a form of meditation. In fact, another word that goes right along with that means to mutter. It's okay to mutter. It's okay to talk to yourself. You better be talking to yourself. Just not in front of anybody, because you don't want to look stupid. You don't want to look that way. Then it means to ruminate. Plato said this about thinking. He says, thinking is the talking of the soul with itself. The talking of the soul with itself. It's meditation. You're talking to your own self over and over and over and over again. Okay, so let's get into some meditation things. I want to give you two words, because if you do one of these, you won't really be meditating. You'll be trying to prove a point. It's the word exegete and eisegete. Now, the word exegete means to extract from. You're looking at a scripture to extract what is there. Okay? Eisegete means that you put into. You look at a scripture and you're reading something into it that may not be there. Okay? Judas went out and hanged himself. Go and do thou likewise. That's an eisegesis. That's not there. That's something that somebody has read into that. I remember another among the holiness group, they read the scripture said that in that day when you're up on the roof, let on the rooftop not come down. And they said, okay, that means you wear your hair up in a knot and it should not come down. They read their doctrine into a verse totally out of context to something that it didn't even say. And people do that sometimes. We have the tendency to do that sometimes. But in true meditation, you're looking for the exegesis. You're wanting to extract out what is there. Not try to put something into it to prove your point. So we first of all have to, with meditation, we really have to be honest in our meditation before the Lord. Okay, with that in mind, we're going to look at John 3:16. Everybody knows and loves John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that helped me out, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not but have. John 3:16. Great. Okay, so let me give you three things here. And we're going to do a little bit of this. And the first thing to do is in meditation is to read it in different translations. Read it in different translations. It will give you a different perspective. Same, I mean, it's translated, but one carries a thought that the other one didn't leave out. The Greek and the Hebrew language is very expressive. And yet we don't, in our English translation, we don't always catch the full meaning. Have you ever heard of the Amplified Bible? The Amplified Bible takes words and amplifies the different shades of meaning in that word. And we'll read that in just a minute. So read different translations and get an idea. Okay, but here's the second thing. This is going to be fun. First of all, you go through and you take out the main words of the text and meditate on those. Let's do that. John 3:16. So let's look and let's take out the main words. God loved world, gave Son, believes, not perish, have life. Did we learn anything from that? What is the subject of that? God. God is the subject of this verse. Something about God. So the second word, that the big word in there, is describes an action or a verb. It says God what? No, not gave. God loved. God loved. Now, let's put an opposite word in there. God hated. Did God hate? No, God loved. God loved. So this is another thing you can use in there too, because a lot of times doctrines of people, they'll say certain things about God, but when you go right back to the scripture, it just says what it says. God loved. Here's the third thing it says. What's the third word? God loved world. Did it say elect? Huh? Are y'all going to help me, or y'all going to sit there like a knot on a log? God loved what? World. Not elect. Righteous. In fact, if you look at that word world in Greek, it carries the context of fallen world. Fallen man. Now, what can we exegete from this? Because sometimes I think, does God really love me? Let me ask a question. Maybe you had that thought. Could God really love me? Let me ask you the question. Are you part of the fallen world? See, sometimes we think, well, God only loves those that are lovely. But this says that he loved what? The world. Fallen humanity. Fallen man. He loves his creation. I tell you, God loves the stars and the moon and the atmosphere and the earth and the beauty of the earth. All of that brings glory to God. But listen, he loves something that's in that failed, that affected everything. He loved the world. Who's part of the world? All of us. So, if God loved world and I'm part of world, guess who God loves? Me! Say this with me. God loves me. Let's say that again. God loves me. Now, did I eisegete? No. Did I exegete? I did. I extracted something out of there. As you meditate on that, you begin to see something about God. God loves world. Then it talks about another action. Gave. What does love do? So God so loved the world that he took. You know, there's some people that tell other people there. Tells people that God loves. You know what? God took your child from you. God took away. God took this from you. God did that. God did. No. This says that God loved and he did what? He gave. He gave. He gave something. So the nature of love is giving. Now there's something I can learn as I meditate on this. About God, that God's about giving. And if God loves and I'm loved, I should be about giving. The nature of love is giving. God loved world, gave Son. Whoa. He gave Son. Son. That's heavy. God loved world, gave Son. We're going to find out. It's going to get more explicit here in a minute. So love gave Son. God gave Son because of then all of a sudden it changes in nature. It changes this whole thing. The next word is whosoever. Whosoever. God did this that whosoever. Now, who's he talking about? whosoever in the world, fallen humanity. Now, I know this is controversial. I don't mind it at all. Some people say Jesus only died for some. He didn't die for others. He only died for the elect. He didn't die for the world. You're either elected to be saved or you're elected to be lost. If you're elected to be saved, there's nothing you can do to resist. If you're elected to be lost, there's nothing that you can do to be saved. John 3:16 does not bear that. There's some other verses that needs to be dealt with. But John 3:16 does not bring that out. It says that whosoever in the world, if they do something, then they won't perish. Okay, so let's look at this. Whosoever what? Believes. Now, who is a whosoever? We are. That's whosoever is in the world. If you're an alien, you don't. From another planet, no. God so loved the world, He gave that whosoever, and then there's this thing, believe. If you begin to look at the word believe, because there's a lot of people say, I believe. The devil believes. But is the devil saved? Is he going to be saved? Nope. No ultimate reconciliation. The devil is lost. He believes, though, but he's not saved. So this word believe is not just a mental action. It is a heart action. Believes in, trusts on, embraces, and relies. We'll see that in a minute because of the meaning of the word. Who believes shall not what? Perish or die, but have everlasting life. So we've looked at the big words. Now let's go back and look at the little words a minute. Can we do that? Let's look at the little words. Because sometimes the little words really magnify something that is huge. Let's start with four. Four. I looked in a translation and it says, in this manner is what that word means. And you look up the word and it's a connecting word. So what it's doing, it's connecting it to a previous thought. And this is what Scripture does a lot of times. You'll see little words in there, so that, therefore, for. It connects it to a previous thought. So if you back up a verse or two, Jesus says this. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. What had happened? The children of Israel were in the wilderness and they had sinned against God. And there were snakes that came and began to bite them and they began to die. And Moses started running towards God and saying, hey God, we got to do something. God, and I'm paraphrasing big time. God says, make a serpent, make a brass serpent, and put it on a pole and raise it up. And whoever looks on it shall not die, but they shall, if they've been bitten by the snake, they shall be healed. Have we been bitten by the snake? Are you there? What happened in the Garden of Eden? We got bit by the snake. Have we been bit by the snake? Yes. The fallen. It's a picture of the fallen world. Whoever looks on the serpent shall be healed. For, in the same manner, God so loved the world. So it's a connected. So it connects it to another thought that brings insight and illustration to what Jesus is talking about. Jesus was a master teacher. Jesus was able to take this and he said, okay, he draws something out of the Old Testament, he brings it into the New that gives light on something. So that's what Scripture will do as you begin to meditate on it. Always study context when you meditate Scripture. One Scripture does not stand by itself. there are qualifiers many times that it's surrounded by. And I could give you illustrations, but we don't have time. For in this manner, God, now look at this next word. This is a big, 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 big word. So, for God what? So loved. Did he just love? No, he so loved. So loved. Now, that word love is a big thing. It's the Greek word. It comes from the Greek noun agape, and it's agapeo, which describes the quality of love that God has, a love that is not determined on a response from the person to whom that love is shown. But God didn't just leave it like that and he says he loved. It says he so loved. He was passionate about that love. Wow. When you look at the little words, they give you a deeper insight into what God is trying to get us to see about Him. That's good. Preacher, you're preaching good. Glory to God. Y'all don't say amen, I will. It's so. Woo. For God so loved the is a connecting word. It connects, okay, look at this. It connects love to what? World. It gives definition. It gives direction. It connects one thing to another. God loved the, it didn't say the righteous, it didn't say, it says the world, fallen mankind. So he so loved the world that he is going to describe an action here that he gave his only. I got three sons. Wouldn't give up one of them for any of you. Wouldn't give up one of them to save any of your lives. If you're a good parent, you feel the same way. God so loved the sunken humanity that he gave his only begotten Son. What are we seeing? I'm not seeing a mad God. I'm not seeing a judgmental God. I know there's the you know, if we don't repent, we're already judged. I don't see a mad God there. I see a God that saw who we were, what we were, how we talked about Him, how we treated Him, how we responded to Him, how we turned our back on Him, and He still loved us so much that He gave His most prized possession that we might have life. Hey, I've been meditating on this verse for about 2 weeks now. I've been extracting some honey out of these verses. And if you'll take some time, you can extract too. I'm sharing my honey with you today. He so that he gave his only begotten Son. So that, here again, it's a reflection back. It ties two thoughts together. He did this so that whosoever believes. We see free will in there. We see so many different things in there. On Him. On Him. Believe what? Well, I believe in God. No, that's not what it said. Believe. You don't believe, say believe in God. Well, I believe on the Bible. It doesn't say believe on the Bible. Well, I believe on the church. It didn't say believe on the church. What did it say to believe on? Him. Now, there's a whole other thing in that we could explore. Whosoever believes on Him, Him on a person. We're not believing on religion. We're not believing on baptism. We're not believing on church membership. We're not believing. We're believing on a person, the only begotten Son of God, whom a loving Father freely gave so that we could make a choice. Glory to God. I just want to kick something. It excites me. Should not perish, but have eternal life. Never die. You'll die in the body, but you won't die in your spirit. You'll live forever in a quality of life that is far, far, far above what you can ever imagine. Okay. Here's another way, too. Go through a verse and emphasize each word. For God so loved the world. 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 For God so loved the. So you can go through and emphasize and take your time as you do and as you think on that and you meditate on that, you will begin to see things in there. There are things that will jump out at you that you've never seen or realized before. And you'll not only make a mental connection, you'll make an emotional connection with it also. Oh, okay. I want to read John 3:16 to you in some translations as we bring this to a close. This is the New Living Translation. For this is how God loved the world. See, there's that four. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. The Voice Translation. For God expressed His love for the world in this way. He gave His only Son so that whoever believes in Him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life. Here is the Worldwide English. For God loved the world so very, very much that He gave His only Son. Because He did that, everyone who believes in Him will not lose his life, but will live forever. Here's the Amplified Bible. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that He even gave up His only begotten, unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on Him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. Isn't that good? There's so much in that verse of Scripture. That's one of the greatest verses in all the Bible. And here's another way that you can meditate. Rewrite the verse in your own words. Now, you don't want to publish that because that's not authoritative because you didn't translate it. But from the meditation of your heart, you write that verse in your own words. It'll help you. Two things before we close. Don't expect to get all out of a passage on the first meditation. That's why you take your time. Take a verse. Take a week. And meditate a week. In fact, I just challenge you. Take John 3:16 for the next week and meditate your way through. Take 15 minutes a day. I'm never going to say this again, okay? If you need to lay aside your Bible reading for a week, you can do that to meditate on that verse for 15 minutes a day. Now, preferably you do both. If you don't have time, lay aside your Bible for 1 week and meditate on that verse of Scripture. See what comes out of it. You won't get everything out of it in the first time you sit down. In fact, don't get discouraged if it takes a while before the insights begin to come to your mind. God has given us this wonderful word that contains his nature, his revelation, his purpose, his plan for not only the world and the church, but also for us. It's in there if you'll extract it out. It's like gold. We have to extract it out as we put it in our heart. It'll cause you to grow, and it'll cause you to bear fruit and be successful. Let's stand together. Prayer team, would you come? If you're here today and you got any kind of need that you need to pray about, especially if you need to make that big step and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if you need to believe in, trust on, rely, and embrace Him, hey, I believe all four of these guys would just love to pray that prayer with you today. I guarantee you they would. So don't be intimidated. If you need to make that step today, come and make it. If you got any other needs in your life, feel free to come. Rest of us, let's worship God.